Welcome, and thank you for coming to another podcast, or at least trying this one out to see if you like it. Today I will be going over the readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Cycle B. The first reading is a reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken out of the man. Then he brought her to the man, and the man said, "This one, at last, is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her, man, this one had been taken. That is why a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh." The word of the Lord. The response. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like an olive plant around your table. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord blesses you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May the Lord bless us all the days of our lives. A reading from the second reading is a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, he for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel reading is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote this commandment to you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, when we are looking at these readings, there's kind of a simple theme that seems to be going on throughout all three of the scripture readings and is kind of a part of even the responsorial psalm. The theme is about the unity and the inability to break apart the husband and wife in reality or in the eyes of God. They are considered to be, from the book of Genesis reading that we have, one flesh. It's not merely that a husband and wife join a contract, but in essence, they become one person in God's eyes. Both the husband and the wife make up the elements of this new unified person. And because of this, there's no, in God's eyes, in God's way of looking at it, any way to dissolve that relationship. And this is kind of the message that's going forth here. And the reason why it's important is not so much because of the nature of marriage or the fact that the husbands and wives are supposed to be united together forever and so on and so forth, but because it shows a unique relationship between us and God. This is something that the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians when he talks about the mystery of the husband and wife's union as being a reflection of the union between Christ and his people. This is kind of the message in the second reading from the book of Hebrews, where we're told that it is fitting that for everything to kind of have its place, that Jesus Christ himself was made a little lower than the angels, basically made into the form and fashion that you and I are made, to be human. The incarnation basically wraps up this whole idea of what marriage is supposed to be, a unity of two into one. It's a unique union where each individual still maintains their individuality, much like in the sense of the unity of the divine with the human in the person of Christ. Both the human elements remain human and the divine elements remain divine, separate but united in a very real manner that kind of is unable to be grasped from an intellectual point of view, but is a reality nonetheless. And it's something that because he took on our form, because he took on the nature of us, that it's the way that we become united with him, in a sense. Moses talks about how our bill of divorce is permitted so that one can dismiss the other. And Jesus points out that this has to do with your attitude one to another. And this attitude kind of comes out later on in the scripture when it talks about how the disciples rebuked those who were bringing the children to Jesus. Jesus didn't want the children to be kept off. He wanted them to be brought into his presence so that he can accept them just as us. And it's that whole showing of love in the marital relationship and how we relate one to another that reveals the greater love and lessons that we can have of how God treats us. Now, no marriage is perfect, and there's many reasons why we can find fault in another, but that just reminds us of how there are many reasons why God can find fault with us, but we don't want him to abandon us. In fact, the whole point of suitability, as it will, for a husband and wife to be united to one another is kind of found in the book of Genesis, where it talks about how God made other animals. He made the dogs, cats, birds, and snakes, and everything else that creeps and crawls on the face of the earth as a way to give us something to be partners with. There's many of us that can have good relationships with animals. People can be mothers of dogs and cats and really treat them like they're part of the family. But in the end, these animals miss something of a true nature that allows us to have true fellowship with them and to truly benefit from them in an ultimate way. And therefore, God basically took out of Adam what was necessary to create Eve, to have that suitable partner. And it's a reminder that for those who are dating and going on through life that way and are hoping to find the perfect spouse, that they need to find somebody that's suitable for them, not just settle for just anyone. And that's kind of the hidden message, if you will, within there, that we have to find people that really fits us as an individual and allows us to become more of an individual that can truly be pleasing to God. And this is kind of the refrain, if you will, if we look at the rebuke of Jesus, where he says, hey, if you don't come to the kingdom of heaven like a child, you're basically not fit for what we are looking for in a relationship with God. Because our way of dealing with God has to be, in a sense, childlike. It has to be trusting. It has to be like a child to a parent, in a sense. Because that's the attitude that truly brings us into the greater glory that God has for all of us. And it's that whole relationship that undergirds, if you will, the whole meaning of Christianity, that we're coming to God to be united to Him who is our suitable spouse. And He's suitable because He did take upon Himself human nature, that He might be able to taste the same experiences and hardships that we are. He's not different from us. He doesn't have this other experience that we don't have. There's a lot of things where we can relate to animals and stuff, and we can see them acting in ways that can be considered humanized or a personification or a reflection of different things with humanity, where we can see that they can get mad or be happy or playful. But in the end, they don't really experience life like another human person can. And that's kind of where, in order to save us and to be somebody that can really relate to us, God had to take on a form, a likeness that was just like you and me, in order to bring us to glory, which He calls us children. Jesus had to become perfect through the same kind of hardships that we do. He had to understand hunger. He had to understand sleeplessness. He had to understand what it was like to feel lonely and to want to be around others. And this is kind of where the lessons come in, that there's a unity among us as Christians and with Him. And this is something that moves us forward as we look to what everything about God is all about. And the response basically points to us that if we will understand the likeness that God has with us, this sharing of our image, the sharing of our nature in the incarnation, we'll basically be like a fruitful vine, because we are united as branches to that vine. We will be the blessings both to Him, and ultimately we'll experience blessings with one another that deepen our relationship with Him. It's a unity, and it's something that we're not to cast off. It's a unity with God that we have that builds the reason why we treat the others in the pew with respect and with love and with concern. Because it's a unity that draws us not just to God, but to one another, to share with one another as suitable partners for each other, not ruled, not governed, but partners, co-heirs with one another. And this is why we can't hinder others from coming to Christ. Because we all should unite ourselves to Him just as He wants to unite Himself with us. And to not, because of the hardness of our heart, seek to put away our spouse. Because in divorce and in hardening our hearts and wandering off and going to other religions or ways of experience, we only put ourselves outside of that true fellowship that allows us to experience the prosperity of Jerusalem, as the word of the response hymn points to, a prosperity that is the blessing of fruitfulness, and the fruitfulness that is being referred to in a spiritual sense is the spiritualness of heaven, where we will always live with God. So let's keep this thought in mind, that we have a unity with God, that He is a suitable partner because of His incarnation, but also because of the unity that we share with God, and the reality that we know that others share that same unity, that we share that unity with one another, and are therefore suitable partners to love one another as He has loved us. Thank you, and I hope you have a great day, and I do look forward to all who would continue to help support this particular podcast ministry that I have going. Just basically click on the donation thing, and I'm going to have some more podcast up in the patron section so that you guys can further understand how to develop your prayer lives and truly get into this unity that Christ has with one another as fruitful branches on a vine. Thank you, and have a wonderful Sunday, and God bless.